Biden says this one thing is close to sinful, and you won't believe what it is.
Drew Barrymore knelt down before Dylan Mulvaney, a dude, in a powerful moment of smashing the patriarchy.
Inflation and interest rates and bank runs are back in style, so we are going to party like it's 1929.
All this and more on...
The Babylon Bee Podcast!
Hey everyone, Kyle Mann here, Editor-in-Chief of the Babylon Bee, hanging out with Adam Yinser and with Jared. You guys are supposed to say something so that people know what your voice is.
Hey, I'm Adam. I'm here.
Notes just have your
audio.
The notes just have your first.
Name. Hey. We're both here.
I think you should be a one name guy.
You think so? Like,
strike
like
me as
Madonna.
A Cher or like.
There aren't that many Jarretts around. I could
yeah,
probably
that's
just
what
claim
that's
it.
Why. Like,
now,
Adam
would you go with Jarrett or would you make up
like LaMaster?
Jarrett the Rock LaMaster or something.
Jarrett the Hammer.
Yeah, the Hammer. I'm here with Adam Yinser and the Hammer.
I mean, how do you get one of those things like Charles the Hammer, you know, like back in the day? Charlemagne, all those guys.
I was thinking of Charles Krauthammer.
Charles Krauthammer. I've always wanted a good, what do you call those? A nickname, but I've never had a
Well, there
nickname.
Was those kids in school that tried to make up their own, and they kept trying to make it
never,
happen.
It never works yeah. when you make up your own.
It's like they call me the Chaz.
No one calls you that.
Nobody does.
You call yourself the Chaz.
Yeah.
I remember there was a period, my middle name starts with a C, and I remember there was a period I tried to get people to call me KC.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
And it didn't
Did
work.
It catch on
No,
at all?
Not at all.
You know, my mom did that. She named me Jarrett Christian so that people would call me JC.
Jay-Z is good. That's a good name.
Right, but nobody ever called me Jay-Z.
Isn't that one of the Backstreet Boys or 98 Degrees fellows?
Yeah, I've always looked up to them. And
wasn't one of them Jay-Z?
Like
no, I think they. I think
Isn't
one of them was
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There was. Yeah, the only nickname there was this lady that my mom knew that would call me JJ, and that was it. That was the only one, and it was just one lady.
That doesn't make sense.
Jarrett has a bracelet that says, "What would JC do?" Referring to the Backstreet Boys.
Oh no, refer to myself. Yeah,
referring to the boy band.
Every time I'm faced with the decision.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's what I would do. Exactly what I want to.
Whatever I want,
because it's me. Well, we had a blast this week at the Babylon Bee. We got to do this fun shoot on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday night.
It was the best.
One of
ever.
Our rare Monday.
Around a
campfire. We were all dressed up like the disciples, so you guys will see that our Easter shoot is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we all got to dress up like Jews and. Mm-hmm. Dance around a fire, so yeah.
like Jews,
like Jews would do,
like they would do,
as one does when one is dressed like a Jew.
Actually, I think you're supposed to say Jewish people, but I don't know. We can say whatever
really?
We want. Yeah,
I think you could say Jews. Like I'm not saying
the whole bit was you can say Jews, you can't say the Jews,
which is
so
what
you couldn't
he said.
Say. We dressed like the Jews,
like I said. Is that what I said?
I thought you just said Jews.
We dressed up like Jews.
Oh, you didn't say you dressed up
the
like
Jews.
The Jews.
He didn't say the.
Oh, I heard the.
That, I think, was the Dave Chappelle joke, was you can't say the.
You can't say. You just say Jews.
I think that makes sense, like blacks and the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's your, the gays. You don't really say.
Yeah, the gays.
You don't say the gays.
Like, you can say homos, but not the homos. or maybe.
Maybe you can't say either of those.
Anyway, it was a blast, and we were dancing around the fire. We were, like, putting our scripts in front of us, and they were flying into the flames.
Sparks
and
were burning holes in our scripts.
And the fire kept falling over and almost burning us to death. And
it was the biggest fire I've ever seen. Jordan
fell into the fire.
He almost fell in.
He literally fell in, and he jumped, and he ended up kind of stumbling over it.
I missed
it.
That part. I don't think I was there when he fell in.
And
he went past it, but he
I'm pretty sure
tripped right next to it.
I'm pretty sure his robes caught, like the hem
the
was.
The fringes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like of his prayer shawl.
of your.
It was on fire.
Of the illicitly, costumes from your production.
No, it's the same production that I was talking about last week. And
the illicitly obtained costume. Yes.
The illicitly obtained. The costume designer was like, hey, you should borrow. She let me borrow these costumes. Very kind.
We coveted our neighbor's disciple costumes.
But I guess now the cast will know. That we stole them.
Yeah. Well, they don't necessarily watch this.
So if they're you're wondering, like that's why they smell like campfire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And B.O.
Anyway. Americans are discovering that if we want to change the nation, we have to change the way the marketplace works. And that change starts with you, with your local communities, and with your wallet. Be deliberate with your dollars and reject woke corporations. Imagine a world in which every single dollar you spend would go towards companies that share your values for life, liberty, and patriotism. Now with the Public Square app, you can. Public SQ, or Public Square, is an app and website that connects freedom-loving Americans to the community and companies that share their values. Engage in a nationwide platform with the largest directory of patriotic businesses and consumers, all while accessing exclusive savings at businesses that see the world the way you do. The marketplace is free to join for consumers and business owners alike. To get started and shop your values, download the Public Square app from the App Store or Google Play, or click on the link in the video description.
I like that we're outing him for stealing the costumes on this podcast.
The thing awesome. He tried to keep quiet.
It's like, guys, just don't mention that on the podcast.
Oh my goodness. What a group of guys too. A lot of good guys there. And
it's an absolute, and it was fun. We were in the middle of a suburban neighborhood, but it was a kind of a large backyard.
Yeah.
So you can't really tell it's in a suburban neighborhood. But well,
we were just in.
The neighbors, it was like 10:30 at night and we're all yelling.
We're all going to
get murdered and cut our heads cut off.
And I just wonder what the what cops kind of party didn't get called it? Or anything, which was.
We all get murdered.
Could
you move with that
Real
quick.
Then we had pizza afterwards. Pizza was good.
Kosher
pizza. I was in Israel 2 years ago. And like right on the Mount of Olives, it feels just like their backyard. Like like there's olive
trees. Those trees were kind of olive like, looking.
Yeah.
Like DG.
Yeah, the DG. If you guys don't know what DG is, write it in the comments.
Yeah.
DG.
Jared told us there was a lot of DG in this yard, and we all took turns guessing what that means.
He kept flinging the term around like everybody knows. Excellent DG.
It reminded me of sometimes, quite frequently, I'll get text messages from friends who are other adult men, and suddenly it has a new text abbreviation in it that I have no idea what it means. And sometimes I'll Google it, and sometimes I'll just stop responding to that person. Like, well, this friendship's over. I don't know what that means.
No, sometimes Kyle I just block the number.
Yeah.
Kyle sends a lot of those abbreviations.
And I don't know what they mean.
I agree. I think it may be an age thing, but
is that why
I
you
really
never respond to me anymore?
Well, when there's an abbreviation,
What about SMH?
SMH.
Shake my head, I know.
Oh, shake my head.
And then I try to Google them, and there's always about five or six companies with that abbreviation name, so I have to scroll down to try to figure out which actually...
Yeah. Like CDC, what's that?
Yeah.
TBH, I do that one sometimes.
Yeah, to be honest. Which I figured out. I didn't actually have to look that one up. I just figured that one out.
Yeah.
Using the context.
Sometimes context.
The one that confused me, I know the first time I saw it was For What It's Worth.
FWIW.
The first time I ever saw that one, I was like, what does that even mean?
Oh, I still didn't know. Thank you for revealing that to me.
Yeah. I
had to Google that one, and it took me a while.
I'll do that one. Like, if we're doing feedback on a video, I'll be like, FWIW, this video is terrible. You know, that kind of stuff. Well, everyone, this is going to be a fun episode. We're going to talk to Paul Roland about his new film, Exemplum. We'll be coming in a little bit later. We have some mailbag questions, and we got news of the week, weekly news, Scissor Facts, hate mail, and our subscriber-exclusive lounge. So,
I can't wait.
Let's-a-go.
In honor of the Mario movie coming out.
Coming out. We should go to that premiere.
Let's do it. But first, we have to hit like, we don't have to do it. You have to do it. You have to hit like, comment, subscribe, and hit the little bell to keep up with all our podcasts on YouTube. And find our Babylon Bee podcast page on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And shout out to everyone who's all of a sudden watching us on Rumble. Because Rumble used to get about 7 views.
Oh.
And now our podcast is getting some significant number of views on there.
The white nationalist numbers are growing.
The white?
Wasn't that the whole thing with Rumble? It was an alt-right website.
It's not alt-right.
But it got accused of that. Just went down.
I thought it got accused of that when it started.
Goodbye, Rumble audience.
We were doing well on Rumble.
No, that was like Gab or something. One of those sites. One of those sites had a lot.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know if Rumble. Yeah. Rumble
it's
was
not Gap,
Rumble pitched themselves as like, we're YouTube, but we won't cancel your videos or something. But yeah, it's kind of one of those alternate conservative things. But it's all the racists on Rumble. Thanks for watching us.
It's not Truth Social.
Hey, Mr. Postman, what's in the mailbag?
Here's an email from Brian Bussard. And he says, hey, y'all, I've been listening for quite a while, and I think Jared could pull off the voice of Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons, who was voiced by Phil Hartman, since Gerard's voice is very close already.
Yeah.
I just think a Lionel Hutz parody could be funny. Keep me laughing, Brian Bussard. And he's with customer service from Gemeinhardt Musical Instruments.
Gemeinhardt.
So are you
do you know Lionel
prepared
Hutz?
To do a I Lionel do. Hutz?
Yeah, I was going to
here's a video.
I looked him up. Let's watch it real quick. Oh man.
Simply by pressing this play button. Pretty sweet, eh?
Pretty sweet, eh?
To my executor.
To my executor.
$50,000. You'd be surprised how often that works. You really would.
You'd be surprised how often that works. You really would.
Can you do the law talking guy line? That's my favorite Lionel Hutz line.
What does he say?
Right here. I think it's right here.
Thank you, Dr. Hibbert. I rest my case.
There's a line where he says...
Case closed.
He says, I move for a bad court thingy.
I move for a bad court thingy.
And then the judge says, you mean a mistrial? And he goes, yeah, that's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
Yeah, that's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
I like it. I like your line.
Pretty good. Phil Hartman, yeah.
Yeah, if we just play that, we're going to get a copyright strike. Because people are going to think it's an actual clip from The Simpsons.
That's right. You know, it's interesting.
I
people have said this.
All the Troy McClure quotes that you might remember me from.
I spoke with somebody from SNL recently. I was talking to one of the people, and she was she told me that I sound just like Phil Hartman on the phone. She's like, "You sound just like Phil Hartman." That was a very high compliment. Thank
we
you.
We can't
so much,
say who she
Brian.
Is, but her first name is Tina.
It's not Tina. It says her first name is not Tina.
I had to think about that for a second. I don't know why.
Anyway,
I tried to cite like one of the most famous women to ever be on this. And
that's right. Well, I think she would be. She would count. Yeah.
All right,
Brian Bassard. Thank you, dude.
Thanks, Brian. We hope you enjoyed that impression of
that
Lionel.
Was if
you
a want, lot of fun, Brian.
If you guys want any other Simpsons impressions, send us an email, podcast@babylonbee.com, and maybe Jarrett will do them. So we wrote an article. Look at this absolute Chad riding one of those motorcycles with three wheels. And there's a total boss.
Is Chad an abbreviation for something?
No.
It's all capitals there.
No, it's just Chad's like, supposed to be kind of like a...
I know what type of person a Chad refers to, but the
it's
capital
like
letters
Chad.
Made me think it was an abbreviation I didn't know.
It's kind of like what Chad became like what bro used to be or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be honest. We wrote this headline as, look at this total bad...
Donkey.
And then we
could... I know we had to replace it with what words we're allowed to say.
Yeah. So I think the headline was better with bad.
Donkey.
Yeah.
But we can't say that.
I agree.
Yeah, normally I don't like cursing, but every now and then it's the perfect phrase for
it's
it.
It's always the perfect word, and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
There's actually an old Onion article that's really funny that's like, total
donkey
sings hymn without even looking at the hymn book. Yeah. And he's just like belting it out. And it's the perfect word.
It's so funny to use that in a church context.
It is. That's good.
So we got a letter from Gail, and she says about this article. She says, these are more stable for the older riders.
Yeah,
I'm sure you already know the third wheel in the front is a spider, while the third in the back is called a trike. But these names might be tied to certain brands and not generalized. Love the article, Gail.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay.
That was informative.
All right, who wants to read the email from Wally?
From Wally Stinger, Reason General. Message. Hello, I am a subscriber here at the Babylon Bee. I am an enjoyer of the articles and especially the podcast. I always look forward to the Friday episode. However, I've noticed one segment has been neglected. Where is Travis Game Corner? This is one of my favorite segments on the show, and I really hope it comes back. Thank you. So without further ado, Travis Game Corner.
Travis's Game Corner.
Hi, I'm Backwards Hat Jarrett, and I'm here to tell you about Metroid. You see, Metroid is a game with a strong male protagonist. And that used to be a common in video games back in the day. But these days, after the Tomb Raiders and the Bayonettas, women are everywhere. So it's good when Nintendo brings back Metroid and you can just go back to having a good old-fashioned time with your favorite male protagonist. And he's a strong guy, but he's got armor, which makes him even stronger. The only thing weird about it is that sometimes they'll go back and remake the older games. Like Metroid Zero Mission is a remake of the first game that came out on the Nintendo. And about 75% of the way through the game, Metroid leaves, and he's replaced by this woman named Samus, which I don't understand. And then the game turns into like stealth gameplay and stuff. It's weird. And then eventually she finds a suit and leaves, and Metroid comes back. So I don't know. It was a really weird thing, but, you know, it made another character for Super Smash Brothers. So that's fine, I guess. I will say, though, that the Metroid lore is kind of strange, because it starts out being sort of like alien inspired, except, of course, that there's no xenomorphs, there are Metroids. But then the main character is called Metroid, so that's weird. But you go around exploring different places, so you're on the planet Zebes or Zebes, then you're on some planet with a name designation, with like SA something or other dash 42, who knows what it is. I forget. It's in Metroid 2. And then in the third Metroid, which is Super Metroid, you're on the planet Zebes again. So you're going to some of the familiar areas. But then, yes, that's right, there was nothing for years. No Metroid game on the Nintendo 64. No Metroid game on... Wait, no, there was a game on the GameCube. That's right, Metroid Prime. On the planet Titan 4, I think. Whatever it's called. The point is, you get to go around, and you're still fighting all the same familiar guys, space pirates and Metroids, and eventually you fight Metroid Prime, which you don't really understand. Is it the first Metroid? Because, you know, Prime would imply that. But then you kill it, and the game ends. But then there's Metroid Prime 2, Echoes. Why is it still Prime? Metroid Prime is dead. And then there's a whole Dark World theme. It's kind of Zelda-ish, but not enough. So the game has a map, and then it has a second map layered over the top, which is sort of a Dark World. Do you get it? And the problem with it is that the Dark World isn't different enough from the Light World. So it's kind of just like you're exploring more of the same. Now, if it was more of a cool Dark World, like in A Link to the Past, that would have been cool. Because in Link to the Past, you leave the Dark World, and there's the Golden Land you go into. And, well, there's no vacuums, I can tell you that much. And so there'll be, like, alternate versions of the same characters. But... Can I help you? Well, I'm talking about Link to the Past and how the Dark World is really cool because it's different, not like Metroid Echoes. And then Metroid Prime 3 Corruption comes out, and I never beat that one because it was on the Wii, and then I bought Metroid Prime Trilogy, which has all of them in it, and I went, great, I'll just finish it on this. So I traded in Metroid Prime 3, I got Metroid Prime Trilogy, and then the save didn't work. It wasn't... Metroid Prime 4.
Hey, that was great, Travis. And now we have our first ever Travis Game Corner mail.
Okay, so we think that he, in a recent episode, he talked about Sonic being from an island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sonic lives on an island.
Gail missed.
Oh, Gail. So she's very well informed about three-wheel motorcycles
and
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'd like to know how old Gail is.
Travis... There is at least one island that has snow, the Big Island of Hawaii. It has snow on Mauna Kea. In fact, it boasts that you can snowboard and snorkel on the same day. Someone told me that he used to make a snowman, put it in his truck bed, and take it to the beach. I don't think he enjoyed it very long, though. I'm sure you have been told this by many others already. Yeah.
We get this all the time.
Gail always puts a little caveat in her emails. I'm sure you know this already. I'm sure others have said this.
Thank you, Gail.
That's right. You know the back wheel is a trike.
Yes.
I'm sure you know that.
Gail is going to become a new favorite on this podcast. Yeah. So I like Gail a lot.
Yeah.
So in my mind, Gail looks like Marge's mom from the video.
Allow me to read a poem.
I'm sure Gail's going to think that's very, very, very good.
All right, let's take a look at what's in the news this week.
Hey, you want to hear a stat that's unfortunately not satire? Over 85% of grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is imported from overseas. Even worse, these imported products can receive a product of USA label if they are processed and packaged here. This is so absurd, it sounds like something we'd write. But this is happening across the country. If you're interested in a better way that delivers real 100% American meat, then you need Good Ranchers. They deliver the best meat and seafood America has to offer, guaranteed. Their meat is born, raised, and made in America every single time. Good Ranchers is passionate about connecting you to American farms, providing meat you can trust and feel good about buying. Right now, when you use our exclusive code BABALONBEEF, pretty clever, Babylon Beef at checkout, you'll get $30 off your order and get free express shipping. Plus, if you subscribe, you get their price lock guarantee, which means your price stays the same for the life of your subscription. Remember, use code Babylon Beef to save $30 on your order of 100% American meat from Good Ranchers.
What's in the news this week?
So Biden accused people who oppose mutilating children of being close to sinful.
Yeah.
It's insane.
They're not sinful?
This was the quote with an interview with Kyle Penn on The Daily Show. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. It's just terrible what they're doing. It just, to me, is, I don't know, it's cruel. And he's referring to states like such as Florida that have banned or severely restricted the kind of quote-unquote gender-affirming care that you can do to minors. So Republican legislators in red states, including Florida, have introduced bills restricting gender-affirming health care for trans and minors. I don't even like saying gender-affirming health care.
It's ridiculous.
It's the exact opposite of gender-affirming.
Just like calling it close to sinful to ban it is exactly the opposite. It's sinful to do that.
Yeah, so things like... things like puberty blockers, surgery, hacking off boobs... all that kind of stuff. DeSantis tweeted, it is not sinful to prohibit the mutilation of minors. It is not acceptable for the federal government to mandate that procedures like sex change operations be allowed for kids.
That's right.
Based DeSantis.
I like to think that now I don't support this surgery at all, but I like to think that if people do go in to get it and they have to pick what operation they're having, it's listed in exactly the way Kyle just phrased it. I'll take a hacking off boobs, please.
Can you just invert my penis?
You can get an arm wiener.
You can be
an arm wiener. You can get a boob
check all
hack.
That you want.
Arm wiener.
Check boobs all hacked off.
a permanently open wound.
It's like it's like when you order at a sushi restaurant, you just go through and
yeah.
Sushi was a bad choice.
Yeah,
but it's well. It's insane that anyone supports this stuff.
It is.
It is insane.
And speaking of the transgender community, Drew Barrymore had Dylan Mulvaney on her show. Here's the clip.
And what's an approach you take? What's your self-talk? What do you filter?
Yes.
How do you...
I still read the comments, but there is so much hatred directed at the trans community right now. It's everywhere. And I think the greatest weapon that I can contribute is trans joy and comedy and talking about hard, you know, subjects and really intricate moments of a transition and try to let everybody in to see that, you know, I'm not a monster. I'm not somebody that, you know, is trying to do anything but be myself and be happy. Thank you. Love ya.
Thank you, everybody.
Was I not supposed to clap?
How do you stay on your own path? Where do you draw boundaries? Where do you find the strength to keep being the joy?
Well, I think having my chosen family and the people that I love to take care of me. But I also think there's something just about making sure that you don't put something out there before you're ready and really just surrounding yourself with good people. It's interesting because I look at someone like you and I can't imagine anybody disliking you.
Oh, please. Do you know, do you want to know, ironically, who dislikes me the most sometimes?
Who?
Myself.
Mm. Me too.
Mm, oh. Me too.
But I guess, you know, you've asked me now, like...
You've asked me, like, what I would do to combat the hate, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do?
What are they doing?
That's a great question.
Why now, are they
you've been doing it a little longer than I have.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was a kid, you starting with E.T., it was the first time I was introduced to film reviews, which are basically social media.
Yes.
But I felt like all these reviews, and it could be a Charlie's Angels, it could be an E.T., it could be
could
the
be
Wedding
a fire
Singer,
starter.
Everything in between. If you read reviews, just like on social media, you are pretty much guaranteed a 50-50. Some like it, some don't. So you've got to be willing to bear down and brace for it. And I think...
I think picking your battles, too.
Yes.
And sometimes I think the greatest response can just be in the next joyous video or in the next win that you have, because that just goes to show that, like, you are continuing on, and whatever that those people are projecting onto you, it isn't actually...
I'm going to stop. Well,
oh, man.
First of all, it's definitely not true that the reviews are usually 50% good and 50% bad. That's why the Drew Barrymore show turned off comments on that video. Because they were 100% negative.
Yes.
But
she's trying so hard. It's so interesting. She's trying so hard to be empathetic and compassionate.
You know, the one thing we do have in common with Dylan Mulvaney is we talked about the intimate moments of a transition, like hacking boobs off and penis filleted and stuff like
There's
that.
There's something else that we have in common with Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
It's funny when
it looked all staged, though. Yeah, I don't understand why they were getting... down on the ground like that.
Well, wasn't it kind of just like two sisters like hanging out together?
Yeah, isn't that what she was saying? They wrote it like
we're having a slumber party together. Yeah. You know, we're gonna have a pillow fight in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of comedy, I think of Dylan Mulvaney.
Yes,
I don't know what that comment was about. Like, I'm all about comedy. Like,
he's all about trans joy.
People on TikTok think they're doing comedy because they don't understand what comedy is.
It's true.
Alex Stein.
Adam's rant corner.
You gotta get an Adam's rant corner.
I'll go off on both sides.
But we could only publish
the other thing that's so disingenuous about this. They always present any criticism of the whole transgender debate as hate. No one hates trans. They don't want, like, none of us want violence to come to transgender people. None of us hate transgender people.
Yeah,
we do disagree with this ideology because it's crazy and it's divorced from reality.
Well, and I think the biggest issue is that they're trying to force it on kids.
Yes.
It's the same thing with like all the stuff, all the Pink Army, like trying to come into schools and indoctrinate kids into this whole thing. That is the biggest issue. Whatever people want to do in the United States, they can do. They can go get surgeries. They can do whatever they want. But push it on kids and it's like, just shut up. Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop trying to do this. Like, you know, stop talking about it on social media. Stop doing all this stuff. Just go be you if you want to do it. But.
Yeah, and don't force it on other people.
Don't force
either.
It on everyone else, and especially children. Yeah.
And then, we got a screen grab here. It says, when you accidentally make the patriarchy great again, it's just Drew Barrymore kneeling before a man in a dress.
And I like that she's wearing a suit, too.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is a gender reversal. Yeah. He is wearing a very short dress. That's a very short dress.
It's a shorter dress than I've ever worn.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's definitely shorter than the one that Adam wore.
In the
Trans-Noir sketch.
Yeah.
I try to bring up as much as possible. You know what's funny too is like the movement, the cultural movement that says that you're beautiful just the way you are, and like don't worry about how you look, and like it's, you know, you are you on the inside and it doesn't matter. And then it's like, unless you're trans.
Yes.
And then put on as much makeup as you can and get a ton of plastic surgery, and that's the only way you can be happy, you know?
Yeah.
But he still looks like a man, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. Just superficial changes. You're still a man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? You can kind of see it in the way that he moves, like when he's like,
yes,
kind of getting, and you're like, oh, it's just a guy. It's just a guy. Like maybe if he sits still and he's like looking, you're like, okay, like is it a girl or a boy? And then he moves, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a guy. Look at the shoulders. Yeah. Watch the shoulders. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, that was crazy. All right. So
maybe he's trying to complete his transition to a woman by not being funny. By being bad at
by
comedy.
Saying I'm going to do a comedy and then not being
not
funny,
funny,
and then he will truly be a woman at that point.
Oh man, that's so good. Okay, well, there are other things happening in the news right now. In entertainment news, The Mandalorian is now out, and this is the newest season of The Mandalorian. Do we have Star Wars fatigue? Is the question. that I'd like to ask everybody. Are we tired of this thing? It's opening, it's streaming. It underperformed Kenobi and The Book of Boba Fett, which is kind of crazy because...
Because I think Mandalorian's better.
Well, totally. And the best part of the Book of Boba Fett was when Mando enters in. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why it underperformed. Maybe it's just kind of, maybe people are getting that. So well, season two. Yeah, go ahead.
I honestly felt like Mandalorian had a complete arc at the end of season two. Mm-hmm. And while I was a huge fan of the show, I didn't feel a big need to watch season. I don't really feel that big of a need to watch season three. I might, you know.
I will check out season three. It's interesting, though, to ask, do people have Star Wars fatigue about Mandalorian? Because I think that's the only... installment yeah. in the series that I still keep up with.
Right.
I do have Star Wars fatigue when it comes to everything else. All yeah. the other sequels, all the other spinoffs. It's yeah. just,
there, I mean, I've seen them. I've watched them all. Just oh, because, really? Mostly because I have kids. Mm-hmm. But Kenobi was just, Kenobi felt weird. I love Ewan McGregor too as an actor, but it still mm-hmm. felt weird. It felt kind of claustrophobic. It was a strange show.
I only watched the first episode and I thought it was fine. But I never felt the need to finish the series. I was just like, oh, that was interesting. Yeah. You know, I didn't care that much.
Yeah.
I've had Star Wars fatigue, honestly. Like when Disney came out with the sequel trilogy, I really liked Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. I did go to the movie theater on opening day and watch the other two, just because I was like, this is a full-on Star Wars trilogy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in retrospect, there's some stuff that's not great about it. But when they started doing like the Star Wars stories, Solo... and Rogue One, and those were like coming out in the off years yeah. of the other ones, it started to feel like, well, now a Star Wars movie isn't an event anymore.
Yes.
It's not yeah. like, wow, a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, there's
it's
no
like,
anticipation. Oh, there's always a Star Wars. Yeah. There's no build-up, yeah.
And then they started doing the streaming shows, and then at that point, I don't really follow.
Mm-hmm. You know, strangely enough, I liked Solo, and I really, I mean...
I've heard it was good, but I haven't
seen it. I did not like it.
I liked Rogue One, too.
The second time, I really liked it. And Rogue One, I think, is the best of all the movies that they've made.
Rogue One is good, but...
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I have a differing opinion on Rogue One. I don't
but
like
Andor,
it.
But you know, Andor, by the way...
I have not watched
the,
Andor.
The series that, I heard that was led good. Up, that actually was... But it was a different genre than Star Wars. Like, it was like a...
It's a slapstick
comedy. Yeah, it was a slapstick. It was amazing. It was like
I hope
top
I don't
secret.
Lose these plans.
It's a daytime.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
It's a daytime yeah. talk show.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
No, but it was like a spy. It was like a spy show. It was like an international spy show. So you could have set, you know, the characters from Jack Ryan in the show, and it would have been really good. You know,
I wonder how much of those are like spec scripts that are going around Hollywood, and
yeah.
they just slap us. Star Wars thing.
Yeah, it's like, let's name it the Empire yeah. and we'll have all these people. Yeah, but there were great moments in that show. Very hard to follow if you ever watch it. But I actually thought that was the deepest show that they've made. Mandalorian's the coolest show they've made. I don't know. I haven't really liked the other ones very much.
So. All right, well.
Now let's move from Star Wars to something super gripping and exciting.
Yeah.
Bank failures.
This is actually interesting.
Does anyone have bank failure fatigue? Silicon Valley Bank failed the first, it was the first Twitter-fueled bank run. Customers withdrew $42 billion in a single day last week from Silicon Valley Bank, leaving the bank with $1 billion in negative cash balance, the company said in a regulatory filing. It was a tech-focused and venture capitalist-focused clientele, so quick transactions and very large accounts. And then after it failed, the federal government stepped in to make depositors whole, even those with accounts of more than $250,000, but didn't buy up the bank or bail out the bank investors like in 2008.
Interesting.
So they're going to bail out the people who had money there, but not bail out the bank itself.
Huh. Our tax dollars are going to Silicon Valley billionaires?
the people that had their money invested.
But it was all like, because you already insure people, the government already insures people mm-hmm. that have less than $250,000.
I liked our take on this a lot. The Silicon Valley Bank guarantees that all the investors will get a free pen.
So the word on the street is that this is a...
isn't a toaster? It used to be a toaster that you got when you signed up for a bank.
Oh, like, I just took it to mean every time you go in the bank, there's always a little cup of free
pens. Yeah, you get the free pen, right. Yeah.
No, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, okay, so this bank was one of the woke banks, though, which is interesting, too.
That's I saw that going around, that they failed because it was woke.
But it wouldn't work with Donald Trump. Like, they wouldn't do business with Donald Trump and stuff. Okay. So, like...
That's probably most banks, though.
I hope it's because it was a woke bank. You know,
yeah, I heard people say
I hadn't heard that.
This is I heard their, people the saying they
the
didn't have
pole outside the castle. You know,
they didn't have sound investment strategies. They invested in a lot of diversity and wokeness initiatives. I don't know. I'm always a little hesitant when conservatives are like, "This failed because it was woke." You know? It's like, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
interesting.
If we all listened to Ron Paul and just went back to the gold standard, then we'd be all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at our Babylon Bee banger of the week.
Banger of the week.
This is the banger of the week. Tucker Carlson obtains 40,000 unseen hours of Biden falling down Air Force One stairs.
It's just on a loop.
It really makes me amusing. I almost wish, I don't know how to do it, but I almost wish we could have created video of just 40,000 hours of him stumbling and falling. And
that seems like it would have been funny. A big project.
Previously unseen. Hours. This was your headline, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's good.
How many times have you gotten banger of the week?
I don't keep track. Maybe 3 or 4 times.
Oh, but, okay. Well, that's good, man.
That's good.
Well, good for you, buddy.
Here's bomb of the week.
Bomb of the week.
Fork replaces chopsticks 3 bites into Panda Express.
I like that one.
I liked that one, too.
Relatable.
I also don't feel like that one had as much time on the
platform it's newer. It's newer. That's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's and not bad. Highly relatable.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Sizzler facts. On Stardate, how do you say that?
75741.5.
Is that like the actual Stardate? Is that?
It's just a random Stardate.
The Stardates were based on the season number, but some episodes were shot out of order, so sometimes an episode that takes place later will have an earlier Stardate.
But in universe, did they ever change this to be like, Stardate means something in relation to some event on Earth, or
no? They never. I as far as I know, at least in Next Generation, they never explain what it is. The Stardates, like I said, they would say them at the top of each episode, but it was in reality based more on the production schedule than anything actually in world.
Well, if you're wrong, I'm sure Gail's going to email us and let us
know. And she'll say, I'm sure you know this already. I'm sure everyone has told you.
On Stardate 7.
Stardates mean this, and Alex Stein is funny.
On Stardate 75741.5, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
We debuted a new feature to the podcast called Sizzler Facts, and everyone rejoiced. And here is this week's Sizzler Fact. Creative restaurant design studio T&I Design has been enlisted to redesign Sizzler locations around the country. T&I is an acronym for the next idea. For people who don't know what abbreviations mean.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
It has completed their pilot design for Sizzler's Corona, California location. It serves as a template to remodel 60 other locations over the next few years. That's actually pretty close to here. We could go.
Yeah.
We should, when it's remodeled, we should go. We should
love go to a nice remodeled Sizzler's.
Yeah, to the opening.
T&I CEO, which stands for Chief Executive Officer, Robert Ansell, has commented on this quiet revolution occurring. We are pleased with the outcome and feel honored to have worked on a restaurant brand that has been part of American culture for more than 70 years. From concept to execution, Sizzler's new interior represents the combination of classic style and modern design, making it stand out above its competitors. We hope that it will continue to delight future generations in the same way that it has since opening in 1958. Sizzler's remodel is both beautiful and functional, providing an inviting atmosphere for all ages, even for old people. T&I Design has utilized reclaimed wood and hemp-based construction materials in many of the furnishings and has integrated enhanced features such as a cozy fireplace beneath the Sizzler logo. Wow.
I like that.
Perfect for warming up any chilly Southern California winter night. This redesign is sure to make the Sizzler customer's dining experience even more enjoyable than before with its warm colored tones and natural yet contemporary vibe. This has been Sizzler Facts.
So I'm kind of sad that they're moving away from the sort of salmon colored carpet and the light light oak with the sort of
like the light green, like the mint
and
color.
The minty green.
I think they've already gotten rid of that. Like if you go to Sizzler now and you're just kind of admitting here that you haven't been to Sizzler recently.
Maybe.
They already have kind of a redesign, but it has these weird stock images on the wall. Hmm. Like they have like a stock image of people snowboarding and a stock image of people high-fiving and people blowing bubbles. It's very strange.
Wow. There's still a Getty image watermark over it.
A stock image of industry.
They went bankrupt. They had to they had to just steal them off Google.
iStock.com and faint letters over the picture.
They had to steal it from Google
industry.
Images.
Yeah. Snowboarding. I win.
Exactly. But so I'm interested. We're going to have to go check out this new Corona location.
We should definitely have a party there, a Babylon Bee party. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, now it's time for Weekly News with Adam Yenser.
It's time for the Weekly News with Adam Yenser.
A Russian fighter jet knocked a $32 million U.S. drone out of the sky over the Black Sea and now plans to recover the wreckage to study it, although Joe Biden insists it was just a weather balloon. The Academy Awards were held on Sunday and were so boring that the most talked-about moment at this year's Oscars was last year's Oscars. Michelle Yeoh became the first Asian woman to win Best Actress for her role in Everything Everywhere All at Once, where she played the groundbreaking role of an Asian lady who knows karate and owns a laundry. After testing positive for COVID, actress Glenn Close backed out of her Oscar presenting gig, and for the next week, Glenn Close will have to be Glenn 6 feet away. COVID expert Anthony Fauci sent Glenn his best, saying he's loved her ever since she played the hero in 101 Dalmatians. Arizona has launched a new hotline parents can call to report schools for delivering inappropriate lessons to kids. For instance, this course on gender ideology or this math test where every answer was 69. This year's Paris Fashion Week featured robotic dogs walking the runway with fashion models. The designer said he got the idea by watching real dogs chase bones. Abu Dhabi has opened a new interfaith complex called the Abrahamic Family House, which serves as a mosque, synagogue, and church, / Pizza Hut, / Taco Bell. There's also a shared common area that will no doubt become the focus of decades of war. And in perhaps the weirdest story of the week, Jordan Peterson is worried about what the Chinese are putting their Peters in. Not going to explain it, but you can Google it and check it out if you'd like. That's it for Weekly News. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel and come see me live at the Looney Bin in Arkansas March 23rd to 25th and at the Funny Farm in Ohio April 7th and 8th.
Hey, thank you, Adam Yenser.
That was great.
And now it's time to welcome the director of the movie Exemplum, Paul Rowland.
The dollar just hit a 7-month low. Why would you trust your hard-earned savings with unstable governments printing more money while on the brink of default? Protect your financial future with something real, gold and silver, from my friends at Allegiance Gold. Allegiance Gold can help you protect your IRA or 401k with physical gold and silver, or if you prefer, have it delivered securely right to your front door. Allegiance Gold has the highest ratings in the industry. 5 stars with TrustLink, a AAA rating with Business Consumer Alliance, and an A+ with Better Business Bureau.
Get up to $500 in free silver with a qualifying purchase when you visit allegiancegold.com/B.
Or give them a call at 844-790-9191. We may not be able to control the policies of the Biden administration, but we can prepare for the consequences. Protect your future with Allegiance Gold. Visit allegiancegold.com/B or call 844-790-9191.
And now it's time for another interview on the Babylon Bee podcast.
Paul, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is not your first time at the Bee. You starred in our sketch Atheist Chaplain.
That's right. That's right. Before. That was a lot of fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's good. Was that based on someone real?
There was a, I think it was Harvard. Yeah. It was one of the Ivy League schools announced that their school chaplain was an atheist. They became the first school to have a chaplain that was an atheist.
Wow, this is interesting. You know Bart Campolo? He became an atheist chaplain. So Bart Campolo. So Tony Campolo. Do you guys know who Tony is?
Are these mafia guys?
No, they sound like
you
mafia
know Bart
guys.
And Tony Campolo.
No, so Tony Campolo was a big Christian speaker, like. For a long time, anyway. Okay. And Bart is his son.
And his salvation pitch was, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Leave the cannoli. Anyway. But yeah, so Bart Campolo was an atheist chaplain at like USC.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I was wondering if we had based it on that.
Mm. You look like you have a little bit of a sunburn.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, like considering that it's been so
okay. I was just outside. Wondering, maybe you copied Jarrett with the plastic strap across the forehead.
Oh, I thought it was more just like the drinking.
Yeah, it could be.
I started early for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming up. A little pregame
So
do you get a sunburn like this, Jared? Sorry.
Yeah, no. Oh,
I was going to talk about the movie, but yeah, let's keep really talking about Jared's baseball cap.
Do you ever get the arch sunburn on your
I have before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've gotten it on the back of my head and the front of my head. Okay. So, yeah, it happens.
Right, I'm sorry.
So,
yeah, carry on about the movie.
So be sure to pick up a backwards baseball cap. Yeah. Paul, thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, yeah. So you have this movie out. It's Exemplum. Tell us a little bit about it and where people can see it.
Absolutely. Exemplum is available on Vimeo On Demand right now. So I made Exemplum in 2020 during the coronavirus pandemic on a budget of $9,500. So basically when you're working at that level of a low budget, you basically have to construct your entire idea around what you know you can get relatively cheap or for free. There's just no other way around it.
Was the cast strictly limited to four members of your own family? Because that's all we were legally allowed to hang out with at that time.
No, we were all a bunch of rule breakers. I'm happy to say that. So I originally had this idea about a priest that started recording his confessions.
Love that premise. I remember when you told me about the idea for it. It's such a cool idea.
Yeah. I mean, it was just in the back of my mind. I didn't know where I was going to go with it. Mm-hmm. It just there it was. Second, I got the initial funds for the film, which was a $6,000 check from the David Horowitz Freedom Center. That's when I started writing the script and started developing out from there. I had the idea of him recording his confessions. Then he starts playing them back and forth, formulating these psychological profiles about people. And then I had worked in conservative and Catholic media, so I had this idea about him becoming a social media star and creating these stories called exemplums. And he uses his confessions as a basis of inspiration for that. And it just all kind of blossomed out from there, and how he becomes an internet star, and then through bureaucracy and corruption in the church, that all gets completely and totally wiped out. He suffers a crisis of faith, and then he decides to take one of those recordings and blackmail a wealthy parishioner with it. And it becomes this cat and mouse game, and it just all spirals out of control from
there. It's very cool. It becomes almost a thriller towards the midway through.
Yeah, absolutely. He gets hooked up with a hacker, and there's a lot of reflection about technology, and it's a relationship in our lives.
So tell us, what's the worst thing you ever confessed to your priest?
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Because we actually have a recording of it.
Play the tape, Dan.
Rule tape.
And you have some great actors in this. Frank Cronin, who's a comedian that I performed with.
Yeah.
So Paul's lead, you're the lead actor in your own film, yes. Which is also amazing. This movie, it turned out fantastic, and
you're the priest.
You did it on such a small budget during the pandemic. You wrote it, directed it, starred in it, and then one of your co-stars is Frank Cronin, a comic who you and I met when Frank and I did a stand-up show at Church of Scientology Celebrity Center.
That's right.
Paul came out to. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Gower.
So it was a small turnout, but we met him in a small little theater at the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a fun night because I you said you were doing a comedy show at the Scientology Center, and I was like, I have to go see what is comedy night like at the Scientology Center. And it was weird. They take us to this small, beautiful little theater in a basement, and there's like five people there.
Yes.
There's five people, but there's like legitimate talent, like Alan and Frank, Adam and Francis Cronin, and like I think someone from SNL was there, a writer for SNL. And and they all performed their sketch, and then Frank mentioned that he was an Irish Catholic, so I related with him on that front, and we just exchanged contact information from there. And he was kind of like my third choice for this role. I approached two other people. They couldn't do it. And I approached him.
It's always good to hear as an actor. Yeah.
Well, I approached him and he just was immediately on board, and he gave the best performance of the film.
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic. Everybody is terrific in it, but he's...
I play a bartender setting a drink on the table, and I think I nailed it. I don't want to say I was better than Frank, but...
Were you dressed in drag or?
I would never.
I was just wondering if.
Why would you never think that he would dress in drag?
Oh my gosh,
he's just so good.
Yeah. Well, one of the inspirations for this was your trans noir sketch. So.
Oh my goodness, you should see it if you haven't.
You remember that Jesus is Savior site that we looked at, and they showed Rudy Giuliani in drag?
Oh yes.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if they're going to take down the Babylon Bee now, and they're going to have you.
Yes, baby. King James only with a picture of me and Bragg next to it.
I'm sorry, Adam. I know how much you hate it. We have to throw it out there, though. It's funny. Now, so $9,500 for your budget. What was your schedule like? It seems like you would have to shoot on weekends, or you have to be a weekend warrior or something like that, or did you shoot straight through?
Absolutely. No, we shot over 7 weekends, the course of 7 weeks. Yeah, we began on a very hot night in September, and then we ended right just before Thanksgiving, and we had our rap party actually on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and it was a...
There are a lot of rappers there.
Thanks. Jared, I had the exact same thought, but I didn't say it.
That's one of those moments where you're like, there are times when you have to not say the thing. Wow, that's
there's
crazy.
No hair to keep the thoughts in.
I think that's the problem.
It just all comes
out that hole in the front.
Yeah.
So you did weekend stuff, and then you edited it yourself, or did you have an editor? Or?
I edited it myself. Wow. Yes, I edited it through the court. My wife was pregnant at the time. We had our first daughter, and I edited it while being a new dad and working a job at the same time. So I mostly got no sleep throughout that entire year.
Now, did you buy the full version of the software, or does the whole movie have trial Adobe Premiere across?
Yeah. Because isn't the full version like $9,500 or something?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, $9,500, that's the whole
That was the budget right there. That's crazy. Now, when you went into the Scientology building, did you guys see demons or anything? Like, I'm just wondering, was there a spiritual oppression?
We didn't, and there was a small crowd there that night. We were in the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center for about 2 hours, and no one tried to convert us. So, in a way, I was glad they weren't trying to convert us, but also... I thought, man, I must not be famous at all. There's that. If I can go to the Church of Scientology, and they're like, "No, we don't need
you." Yeah, we don't need you. You know, it's interesting.
He can be a Lutheran.
I used to spend so much time around that building. We had so my theater company that I was at the time.
Yeah,
it was right there next to the Scientology building.
Uh-huh.
So we would walk around that building all the time, and I always got a creepy feeling about that building. I don't know if
it's an interesting building.
It is. It's cool, and I guess there was there's an underground lair. Across to Franklin.
Oh,
like
okay.
You can there's where the guy that usually originally owned the building.
You can walk out on stage at the UCB theater from.
Yeah, that's right. You can he would sneak his mistresses in through this underground sequence.
It's
of
the tunnel to the gay bar you were telling us about.
Yeah.
That's
the drag bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the drag bar.
Was it a drag bar? I think it was a gay bar.
Oh, it was a gay bar. I was making another drag
now,
bar.
I get it. Is it legal for a priest to record confessions?
It is 100% illegal according to canon law, and I would assume by laws of California.
There's some states where you can record people and not tell them.
Yeah.
As long as one party knows.
I know that's about phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not in person. I don't know.
Yeah.
But how does James O'Keefe and them record? You know, there's
Well, he lost his job, so he wasn't doing it quite right. He was doing something wrong.
Yeah, something happened there.
Has that ever happened in the Catholic? Has anything like this ever happened?
Yeah, have you ever heard?
Well, there officially have been stories of priests who do violate the seal of confession, and they do actually sometimes utilize that as a mechanism for blackmail. I know person that at least did happen to once, but those priests who do that are severely dealt with because is a complete and total violation. I mean, that's it's an automatic excommunication from the church is to break the seal of confession. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's
they have to become Lutherans.
Yeah. And what was your philosophy of storytelling for this movie? It has religious content in it, but it's not heavy handed in any way. It's just kind of informed by your.
Well, certainly, coming at it, I am a committed Catholic, but I'm coming at this as an artist first that's informed by my Catholicism and my philosophical outlook. So I wanted to construct this as basically a traditional thriller, a traditional film noir that has Catholic elements. So I was like, what if we just did a film noir thriller that's about a Catholic priest, committing these unethical crimes and have it be this, philosophical, theological reflection upon what that is. Then I didn't set out to do this, but as the story kind of came together and I finished the script, I sort of realized that I do think the movie is a philosophical and theological reflection on cancel culture. Not in a political sense. I think people throw that around as I'm outside of cancel culture, but I think everybody has the propensity in them to cancel or judge or throw somebody outside of a group. So I wanted it to be having it be this reflection about the idea of keeping people's sins locked up and to utilize it as a method of power and control. And the only entity that really wins out in the end is evil.
Mm. Mm. And I'm a Lutheran, and I liked it, so.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it is about a Catholic priest, but I think I kept it universal enough where I think anybody could watch it. I mean, this could have easily been a film about a Protestant pastor. It could have easily been a film about a therapist if you wanted to go, you know, secular. In that
route. We don't confess sins in the Protestant church.
Well, no, you don't, but pastors do.
Drew Barrymore confesses to Dylan Mulvaney.
but pastors do have intimate conversations with their congregants, right. And they do, you know, hear about, you know, the struggles that they're dealing with and the things that they don't reveal in public, and you know, that could easily be a story. I think it's just the story itself is about taking people's darkness and their weaknesses and utilizing it for power.
And this film has—it's been winning some awards, right? What have you won so far with this?
Yes, we won Best Director at the Pasadena International Film Festival.
So when you say we won Best Director, you won Best Director.
Okay, so I won, but I like to say we because this was, you know, a lot of people contributed to this film. This movie would—I mean, certainly I want to give a shout out to my cinematographer, Vlad Ionescu. This movie would not exist without him.
What did you guys shoot on, by the way?
We shot on a Sony A7S II, but as you see in the film, I did a lot of work to make it look like we shot it on 16mm
like
black 16, and white.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Exactly. Without him, this movie would not have been possible. He was there every step of the way.
He's awesome. I've worked with Vlad before, and he's a fantastic guy.
Exactly. Without this guy, it would not have been possible. You know, Adam and I Adam split the cost of the equipment with me, and I stored the equipment at his place while he was shooting the canceled news, and I would come every Friday to pick it up. So we're going to go shoot that weekend, and I'd bring it back every Sunday. So many people, you know, my friend Andrew Halpent, who created the music for this film, my cast, you know, Joe Griffin, who played Louis Costa, Frank Cronin, Brittany Lewis, who played Lilia, everybody this contributed to this
film. And you had an investor in Florida, right?
I did. I did have more a contributor out of Florida. Seth Dillon, who you all know, is the head of the Babylon Bee.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah.
So Seth and I.
Dillon? Is that what it is?
Seth Dillon.
So Seth, Seth and I, we had become pen pals over the years. He'd followed me on Twitter and I'd followed him back, and he would sometimes share some sketches that Adam and I created. And as I was making this, I just reached out to him and I said, hey, I'm making this film. I have, you know, this budget. If you want to contribute to it, you know, please do. And he said, I hadn't read a script before, but I'm very honored that you sent me this. And so he contributed to the film, and that was lovely.
So you had $200 and he gave you $9,300.
Yeah, Seth is very generous.
That's awesome.
Awesome. One thing I will definitely say about Seth that I appreciate is he encourages artists of my ilk to just go out there and create culture, not go out and create, you know, subculture. And I think that's very evident about places like here at the Bee. It's evident in places like EV Magazine, which he also supported. And, you know, I hope it's evident in this film. I did everything I could to make that possible, but you find people are going to be the judge of that.
Yeah,
you
know? Very cool.
Well, I'm going to do the best pitch for this. Do you hate woke Hollywood? Stick it to woke Hollywood and check out Exemplum on Vimeo On Demand right now.
Right now. Yeah. Exemplum. That's great.
Dude, thanks for being here, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Awesome.
You ever need a bald actor, you know?
Yeah.
Just saying. I don't have any hair.
Thanks for coming in, Paul.
Now it's time for hate mail.
Hate mail.
You used to be good.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
Adam Ford.
I really miss Adam Ford.
So Jared is currently wearing a backwards hat.
Yep.
I mean,
oh, and he's got
I'm
one in the
sitting
picture
in
too.
The same. I'm sitting just how I was then too. Yeah. So.
So we have a clip posted to social media that shows Jared in his trademark backwards baseball cap.
Yep.
And here's a comment.
Yeah.
This was actually pretty funny. I actually laughed out loud. Nice job for a change.
Thanks, bro.
What was it that they thought was funny? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, this was
story
this was him
about being in the Easter play.
Yeah, talking about that, falling off the cross.
I think it was Jesus. The being catapulted story.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so thanks for letting us know that you thought it was funny.
I always like that hate mail when people are like, "This is really good. You guys usually suck." Nice job. that's, I like it.
What are you doing listening to us? How do you know?
I'll take it.
You know, if you think we suck,
yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for watching. Stay tuned. If you're a subscriber, we have bonus hate mail, including some comments on Jarrett's baseball cap. We have love mail, a quick Bible Devo time, a very special classic article of the week that is near and dear to our hearts at the Bee, and subscriber headlines that are pitched by our paying subscribers who keep the lights on. So fake news of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Coming up next, for Babylon Bee subscribers.
I just every day, I think about trans hair.
I don't think people hate you for being bald. I think they hate you for using voice to text all the time.
The Bible obviously is our foundation as Christians, but like then looking at a conversation of philosophy over the last 3,000 years.
Rachel's message is to be true to yourself, and we couldn't agree more. This man is breaking barriers and showing us all the true meaning of courage.
This has been another edition of the Babylon Bee Podcast from the dedicated team of certified fake news journalists you can trust here at the Babylon Bee, reminding you that Jesus is King.